The OTB Brief. Everything you need to know about sport every morning. Need to get on top of the day's sports news? Well, the OTB Brief is the only sports update you'll need every morning. With all the breaking stories, post-match reaction.
They had one more day to rest. We were really in trouble. Really in trouble to build the team.
And the best bits from off the ball, all in a 10-minute podcast.
Oh, sweaty palms. Of course, you guys know what it's like, but that was nervy.
The OTB Brief, online every morning from 7 a.m. on offtheball.com, the Go Loud app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
All right, we're going to talk hurling because I'm joined by the legend that is Babs Keating. How are you keeping?
Very good, Nathan, thanks.
You're here because Allianz Ireland have announced a 5-year extension to its sponsorship of the Allianz Football and Hurling Leagues. It means Allianz have been supporting Gaelic Games for 33 years. You're looking well. You are the first guest who, before we came on air, asked me to put my hand inside their top to check out your shoulder.
Yeah.
That's the main ailment at the moment, is it?
I suppose when you're near 76 and you played in 12 All-Irelands like I did, Nathan, and played football and hurling all my life, I've come out well enough at the end of it now. I can't complain.
We've been chatting outside for the last while and you were talking about your interests in various sports. You're a great golfer, you love the horse racing and played football and hurling. The golf game has stopped for now?
It's put on the shelf, and I'm hoping that my surgeon out in Santry Clinic, Ruth Delaney, whose uncle might have had, won a couple of All-Irelands with Galway the same time as my team.
Okay.
In the 60s, Noel Tierney. So she's looking after me. I couldn't be in better hands.
So how are you filling your days at the moment?
A relaxed kind of a day. At the moment, retired, moved to Kildare Town from Castleknock 6 months ago. So between calling to my son-in-law and talking horses and...
Johnny Murta is your son-in-law for anyone who doesn't know.
So you'll always get a few jobs when you have 5 grandchildren and there's somebody to be driven here or somebody there. And unfortunately, for the last couple of weeks, it's a week of funerals.
Right.
Great friends have passed away. I was at Matty Kavanagh, who was... drove the team, Matty Kavanagh's coach, is one of the great guys. Unfortunately, he died on a plane coming from Tenerife last Saturday week.
That's terrible.
And Bobby Ryan's mother, now she can't complain. She's a great lady, 96, I think. She was buried this morning. So I was there yesterday and same way last week. So I'm at that stage in life.
Have you any involvement in hurling at all at the moment?
No involvement apart from writing an article for The Sun,
right,
which I enjoy because it keeps my eye in and my ear in, and at least I'm going to matches that I might just miss.
And do you enjoy it? Do you enjoy watching hurling as it is at the moment?
I don't.
Why?
No, I don't. I think the end of the road for me came last Saturday evening with what I saw, Nathan. What I saw in Crow Park last Saturday was the worst of all time, with 13 yellow cards, 3 reds, a penalty that shouldn't have been even a free. And as we know, goals decide games. Mm. And a penalty in the modern game with the present hurling ball that we're playing with is a goal 9 times out of 10. And what I saw in Crow Park, and I described it as more like one of Pat Short's programmes or shows on Kilniscully, to see a Wexford official running in with a new ball every time Wexford got a free. Now, that for a GAA that professes to be so professional, with what I saw was beyond belief. And as the referee going back discussing incidents with the umpires, that incidents happened beside him. I just couldn't take what I saw. And to add that, then, when you listen to Kieran Kingston's interview on Sunday night about the Limerick game, and he more or less said that the referee destroyed the game.
Mm.
Now, it's time to cry halt, because in my time as manager, the rules that Crow Park imposed on me as a manager, and you would say professionalism at its highest, and they demand that And for me to impose those rules on my players, which I did, because I suppose I'm one of the guys that can speak up. As a manager for with Tipperary for 8 years, Nathan, I had one player sent off, and he was blackguarded. And that's my record. So I believe, and come from a generation, that you need no red or no yellow. If the players play the game as it should be played, and the referees and our officials do the job that's expected of them. Now, having said that, look, a lot of things have changed. The first thing, the distance the hurling ball is travelling is ridiculous, in my opinion. Ridiculous. Like,
Is that feeding into the problem for the referee that's made the game so fast?
Of course it is. You're like a ball that's delivered 120 yards and puck out, and a cornerback can put it back up to the other end of the field. Now, that's number one. But about it, from a spectator's point of view, there's a generation like myself that can't even see the ball travelling so fast. Right. From the player's point of view and the supporter's point of view, it makes sense if a hurling ball travelled 80 yards rather than 120, that you're going to have more play and more enjoyable play and better games as a result. Like, at the end of the day, if you go back to the whole of last year, I don't know, could you count one real good top-class hurling game? You know, so...
Because, like, that would definitely go against the common view. There would be a feeling that the last couple of years in hurling have been, we've seen some of the great games.
Yeah, okay, but you had great games all through the 60s, the 70s and the 80s, but they were consistent, right? As I said, you can't go back to 2019 championship when you say you had a real good game. I can't. You know, the All-Ireland was a disaster with Richie Hogan sending off. It was over after 20 minutes. The All-Ireland semi-finals were very ordinary. Like, Tip playing Wexford was a sluggish kind of a game. Wexford with 14 men, or with 15 men and a 5-point lead, should have won in normal circumstances.
And why did you not think they were great games? Do you think the quality of the skill level is going down?
Oh, well, you see, the skill level is different. If Christy Ring and Eddie Kerr were playing with a hurling ball that's been used today, the opposition would have to bring a carpenter with them and barricade the goal. Like, it makes sense. When you were playing with the ball that our generation played with, and all through the 80s, you were playing with a ball that travelled 85 yards at the most. So that makes it, that leads us on to the 21s and the short frees. Like, I would love to be playing with the ball we're playing with today. You're playing, like, all the players today are using a 35-inch hurley, because the hurling ball is so easy to control, so easy to strike.
Like, what did you use?
All 37-inch.
Right.
All 37-inch. Because you wouldn't be able to strike the hurling ball today with the 35-inch hurling. You just couldn't. You know what I mean?
Why?
The ball was so heavy and so it was a bit large, and they were man-made at the time with a ridge around it. Now, I'm not advocating that, but I'm advocating that a hurling ball should be tested and shouldn't travel more than 90 yards in normal conditions.
It doesn't seem like there's any huge appetite for that. Like, big scores generate excitement.
Okay, but I'm saying to you, it's the root of the problems for some of the referees and some of the umpires. Decision making is vital. And to be fair, I was at Frank Murphy's retirement in Cork, and he covered every aspect of the GAA. Nobody served as long in the GAA at a high level. And he finished up, and he pleaded with the organisation to give the modern day players a fair chance, and he said what they have to put up with poor decisions from officialdom is ridiculous. Now, we saw it last Saturday evening, we saw it with the Kilkenny Limerick game, probably denied Limerick a chance in playing in the second All-Ireland with the incident over the 70. We saw the worst we've ever seen with the Waterford Tipperary game in Limerick a year and a half ago, with the incident with the goal.
That was disallowed. Where they didn't think it went over the line.
Yeah. And there was a point shortly after that. Now, like, why would fellas train from November the previous year to have to put up with that? You know, so... I believe there are issues that... A lot of issues that the GAA have to address if they want a better GAA. Like, at 76 years of age, that is really immaterial to me what to do.
Yeah.
But I'm saying to you, in the interest of the future of the GAA, I'm saying, like, the decision, in my opinion, to allow club games only in the month of April, when basically rural Ireland isn't ready to play a championship in April, and then to close the show down on from May until August.
Mm.
It's basically handing the other sports, particularly soccer in rural Ireland, a free hand.
Where they get their fixture list of 20 matches, they know what weekends they're on, what weekends
and
they're
off. I know it from my own club. Five or six fellas left the scene to go and play soccer. Now, the GAA won't feel that today, but they'll feel it in 4 or 5 years' time, when rural Ireland will be even more decimated. And that's one thing. As I said, officialdom, this isn't today. This is going on. Joe Kernan and myself were invited on the committee to discuss this at least 15 years ago. And we came up with a solution. We both of us advocated that immediately retired players should be asked to referee through the approval of their county secretary and county chairman, because they're the guys that would know the calibre of guys, train them properly, have proper communication. We advocated that the venues have fixed umpires. Now, I know my time in Tipperary, if I asked the late Tommy Barrett to pick 4 umpires on Turles, I guarantee you, he'd pick them as sharp as a razor. And if they made a mistake, I made the point is that if I'm appointed manager, I'm expected to do a job on behalf of my county board and to make hard decisions, right? I'm asking the players to do a job. And if they don't, I have to make the hard decisions. But there's no hard decision ever made against referees and umpires or linesmen.
Well, referees have been judged from above, and the best referees should technically get the best games and should be rewarded. But when you look at last weekend then, and like, so the two games that probably stood out, so the match you're talking about, that Dublin-Wexford game, Johnny Murphy, the referee, awarded 50 frees during the game.
Yeah.
The Cork-Limerick match, there was 42 frees in that match. Over half the scores were from place ball. Like, they're obviously refereeing, and maybe it's early in the league and that they loosen up a little bit as time goes on. They're obviously following instruction.
But look, they are, and this is where I've some sympathy with them to apply the rules that are imposed on them, and those rules are so ridiculous and so inconsistent. Like what happened to young Clifford, like, was disgraceful, and we all know that. But worse than that, I saw 2 Kerry players get a yellow card on that game, and the Tyrone player did it. He had identical to what the Kerry player did. 2 Tyrone players and no yellow card.
Right. Now, so the inconsistency is just
that I can't take. Now, I'm saying to you, they are working to a schedule of rules designed by, obviously, people that never played a game. There was one incident in the Tipperary Limerick game where Cathal Barrett got a yellow card for sticking in the hurley for nothing. Now, this idea that a player has to have a free hand and play the ball without being impeded is totally ridiculous. And worse than that, which is totally ridiculous, if I get a ball and I charge at a player, right? Now, his opposite has no other means of stopping that player. He's only standing in front. An automatic free against him. Like, that's totally ridiculous. When you see a player with a ball charging with him, and he gets a free immediately. No, that's happening consistently. So I'm saying to you, he should be made play the ball, but he shouldn't be granted the privilege of a free on top of that. Now, we're seeing just too many, I believe, a lot of decisions that happened last weekend. If I was in the president of the GAA's shoes, I'd certainly call in the committee responsible for the rules. Right, and forget about this protocol that you have to wait for Congress. We don't have time to wait for the ridiculous situation that went ahead last week. We can't take another year of this. We can't take another year of injustice, like what happened in Limerick, what happened in Waterford, and many other counties as well. So this has to be rectified straight away. right? And I said, go back. I'm in the position to talk, as I said, Nathan, because I managed Tipperary for 8 years, and I had one player sent off. And we didn't want a referee with yellow cards or black cards or red cards. Right? Our players knew the rules.
Do you think the players today know the rules?
I think they do. But I think some managers have a big responsibility in this area, and I don't believe they're carrying out their responsibilities, because when you see repetition by so many players and repeating the same fouls, I believe they should be punished. And my punish the time I didn't pick these players, because I didn't train a team to be playing with 14 or 13 men in a championship the following year. Like, I claim that would be a ridiculous situation, and I'd be reneging on my responsibility to the team I trained and the county I trained. So.
Would you like to be managing an inter-county team nowadays, where obviously there's increased scrutiny, there's far more matches on television, there's far more people talking about the game, but there's also far greater resources? You look what Liam Sheedy's working with at Tipperary at the moment, where there's a busload of backroom staff at every game. You have anything you would ever need as an intercounty manager, you have, and it's delivered to your players. Would you have liked that level of professionalism?
No, because I grew up in a completely amateur organisation. Now, what we see in Dublin and Tipperary at the moment, Manchester United, Chelsea don't have it, and that's not amateurism.
And is that not a good thing, though, that the players are being treated right? That they're getting, for the commitment they're putting in, that they're getting everything they
need? I don't
have
a problem. As I was the first to start the supporters club and make sure that there's no player that played under me have any complaint about the way they were treated, or lack of the best hotels, or lack of the decent food after training, or lack of expenses. What I have a problem with is to see a backroom staff of 21 or 22. Now, that's not amateurism. What I have a problem with is to see a panel of 40 or more in some cases. Now, at the end of the day, they brought home to me and pointed out that there's about 6 Kilkenny players that have 5 All-Irelands each, and they never saw the field of play. If you look at Tipperary last year, I think there's 13 on Liam Sheedy's panel that never played a league or a championship. And we see the costs going up to over 2 million. And the clubs in Tipperary are crying out for a few quid. Now, everybody in Tipperary know that Liam Sheedy cannot spend another 2 million to win next year's All-Ireland. Right? Everybody know that it's not sustainable. Right? Dublin can. Now, I believe that because Dublin have the finances and the resources, because Tipperary had last year, I don't think it can be repeated financially. Now, that's not to say that he can't win All-Ireland with cutbacks, but there will have to be cutbacks in Tipperary. The county treasurer cannot go to the convention in 12 months' time and show a loss of a half a million. So,
well, they have good backing, and like, they've very high-profile sponsor, obviously, in Teneo, and there's good links. And as you started with the supporters club, they've tapped into the diaspora for Tipperary very well. And like, it does seem
that's all we're fine to talk, but we have a responsibility to look at the checkbook as well. That, and I coming from very humble surroundings, like to the GA that is today, you have to be conscious of the problems that other counties are facing as we speak today, and a lot of counties in financial difficulty.
But they're all looking at Dublin and thinking, we need to somehow.
No doubt,
do that.
But you see the thing about
it's
it, the resources in Dublin. Dublin is unique insofar as that there's at least 25 clubs in Dublin that no club in Tipperary could match any of those 25 in terms of resources to raise money. There's probably 2 or 3 clubs in Cork that could do it. There's certainly no club in Waterford, Clare, Limerick might have one. So they have the resources as well as the biggest sponsor in the business. So, but having said that, that's not to say that officialdom in Croke Park shouldn't at least give Meath and Westmeath and any other county that hope they can match Dublin the same level playing field as Dublin. And it's not.
Can you ever level the playing field with Dublin?
Nobody else have the level playing field in Leinster or maybe the Ulster counties can match it somewhere, because they have different resources than those of us down south. So there is an obligation, in my opinion, on John Horne or the incoming president to at least create the same level playing field in all the counties. And that is, like, if can you imagine Jack O'Connor coming to the chairman and secretary of the Kildare County Board and say, I want the backroom staff of 21 now. Can you imagine what he'd be told?
I don't know the exact numbers, but I'd imagine they're, every county is almost heading towards those numbers.
It's not possible. No, it's not. Like, I kind of understand physios and PE coaches and all that, but a figure of 21 or 22 is just not acceptable to me.
What's your relationship with the Tipperary County Board like now? I know there were some issues a few years back. Of everything gets smoothed over?
I can never forget what happened to me insofar as that, to be refused two tickets. Insofar as that they should have realised my contribution to Tipperary GA, and I go back to the time that they were building Semple Stadium. And living in Dublin, and I was on a committee here and walking the streets in Dublin trying to collect funding for Semple Stadium, calling on the businesses, and because Tipperary County Board had to raise a lot of money to host the All-Ireland 84. I was appointed manager. I got the job, and the late County Secretary Tommy Barrett, great County Secretary, and Michael Lowry gave me the job, fully supportive. But they said, look, you have the job now, but we don't have the price of a hurling ball. And I travelled to New York, I travelled to Boston, I travelled to London, travelled all over the country raising money for Tipperary to lift the profile, and thankfully that succeeded, and a huge success. And in terms of injured players, I had a great friend, Bill Quinlan, the orthopaedic man. He was with the Irish rugby team for years. He looked after our players, never asked for a penny.
Right.
Looking for jobs for players. Remember, like, 87, you had a recession as well, as same as you had for the last 10 years. Our players had to be looked after.
And did you get tickets for last year's final?
I did, because there's a bylaw of the county board that suggested that every player has to get two, if request, look for two players. But because of my commitments to the people that looked after Tipperary, I go to the team holiday when we went to Florida. I had a few people in Florida that give us the full treatment, booked golf for us for €15 plus a bogey, and brought us to dinner. Pat Dalton out there, he was a well-known greyhound man, brought us to Biscayne, Key Biscayne, for a night at the Dogs.
Right.
Looked after us everywhere. Those are the people that don't know county board officials, so I was the man.
Right.
So the demands that I would have to look after people that looked after Tipperary. And they should know that. You know what I mean? Now, I didn't look. I would never be unreasonable. But to think that I was, because I said something that they didn't like.
Yeah.
You know. So be it.
You've got to go. You've got to get a train. We'd love to get you back in for a longer chat, maybe over the next few months. But obviously, I think everyone was a bit frustrated with the hurling last weekend. From Tipperary's point of view, trying to do back-to-back, it's something they've consistently struggled with. The last time, mid-60s. You didn't play a 64, but you did play a 65?
Yeah. I know, I played 64. I got injured for the 65 All-Ireland. Right. Yeah.
Like, what is it about Tipperary that they struggle to defend in All-Ireland?
I think they were very unlucky. You know, I said they were unlucky in 2017, for instance. Like, Mick Ryan, I think, was a very unlucky manager. He lost Brendan Maher and McCormack against Clare in the last game. And Clare's winning point deprived them of a place, probably in the quarterfinals. I think if Tipperary got the Croke Park, because this Tipperary team are a Croke Park team, as you'll agree with me, insofar as the quality of hurling that this Tipperary team played in 2010, 2016, last year. Now, last year, the Richie Hogan incident kind of was a bit of a black mark against everybody. But I just think that it is obvious that Liam Sheedy hasn't the eye on the Alliance Hurling League. this year. He knows he has a squad. He knows he's going to come back now. Plus, with the last year's squad,
yeah,
fully healthy, probably with Bono Maher as an addition, which is a big plus.
Not a bad addition.
Not a bad addition. He had the support of the under-20 success, a few players emerging. You'd say some of them have to be a real backup, particularly young Morris. So he has, and like the issues with Limerick now, Richie English, a bad loss to Limerick, young Mullen last week with Kilkenny. Now, I'll finish by saying that the All-Ireland is between Galway, Tip and Limerick. And I think if Tip emerge in the semi-final, I think they'll come through and they'll play on All-Ireland on the final day.
All right, well, hopefully we'll chat to you again between now and then, Babs. Thanks a lot for coming into the studio. You were here because Allianz Ireland is announcing a five-year extension of its sponsorship of the Allianz Football and Hurling Leagues. It means Allianz have been supporting Gaelic Games for 33 years. Babs Keating, thanks as always.
Very good.
The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.